Please be seated. On behalf of the Bransema family, I welcome you to this service. May the Lord grant comfort to us today through his word, knowing that your dear dad, Opa, great-grandfather, brother, and friend has gone to be with the Lord, where he enjoys pleasures forevermore. My brother Henry Bransema was born on February the 5th, 1923, and he entered into the presence of the Lord on October the 10th, 2019. Let us come before God in prayer. Most merciful and gracious God, on this day in which we might gather here together for this service, we pray, O Lord, that you will bless us and comfort us through your word. We rejoice in all that you have given to us in our dear loved one, of his faithful testimony, of his faithful walk in Christ, and the words which he has spoken through the years. You have given him many years, well beyond fourscore. He lived for 96 years and some months. And in this we see your goodness towards him. And we are thankful, O Lord, not only for the length of his days, but also the way in which he lived. That he was such a testimony of faith to us as a family and also as a congregation. And that his spot here in this place of worship was rarely empty. And if he was not able to be here, it was because of his weakness and his infirmities of his body in the last months. But through the years, he faithfully attended and worshiped your holy name. And in his life, he spoke of the things of God. And we rejoice, O Lord, in the good gifts that you have given to us through him and the testimony that he has made and the impression that he has created over the years. We pray, Lord, that you will bless your word to us also today. And as we join together, that we would also reflect not only on who he was as a man, but who he became by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that the last day of his life was the best day of his life here below, because that's the day in which he passed from this earthly pilgrimage into eternal glory. And he has beheld your face, O Lord Jesus, and the glory which awaited him was given to him. O Lord, we pray that you would bless us also through this service, that we would be strengthened, encouraged, perhaps challenged, and drawn to Christ, the Savior. We pray this in his precious name. Amen. We sing from the Psalter that's listed in your bulletin, number 30. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and on thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high. Do thou my soul defend. And I don't believe that that one's printed in the program, but it is in the blue Psalter in your pew, number 30. And we sing all three stanzas. To thee, O Lord, I fly.
Thank you.
Hear now from the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Thessalonica who were discouraged because of it appeared that Jesus was taking a long time before he returned from heaven. And he writes to them saying, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust." Let us respond by singing together, "In Christ Alone," as it's listed in your program. "In Christ Alone."
Thank you.
Congregation, our scripture reading for the message this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and we will read just the first six verses of that chapter. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 6. We read, "My son, do not forget my law, but at your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Dear family and friends, congregation, in preparing for this sermon, or this service rather, I ran across a sermon that I had made some years ago, and it had a reference to your loved one, our brother Henry Bransema. I made the following comments in the introduction. I said, "I made a pastoral visit with a 92-year-old man this past week," and that was 4 years ago, as you understand. I said, "We spent a lot of time reflecting on life, and in that conversation, we turned to the time of his death. Not that he is or was unhealthy, but he recognized that being 92 years old meant that, humanly speaking, his days were coming to an end. And he made this statement to me, 'I've told my kids that I want the focus of my funeral service to be on trusting the Lord.' He mentioned to me that he had gone through the entire book of Psalms and he had found every reference to trust. It actually occurs very frequently in the Psalms and the Proverbs in particular, but throughout the whole Bible. Now, that was based on a conversation I had with your loved one some 4 years ago. And trust in the Lord was one of the most important principles of your dad and your opa. And it summarizes really the way that he lived and the way that he felt that we all should live before God. And after speaking to the family this past week, we decided that Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, was actually a summary of these truths which were so important to our dear brother Henry Bransema. And in those verses we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Trust is a very beautiful word, isn't it? It somehow encompasses the whole, you might say, of the Christian gospel. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Isn't that most important in life and also in death? Your loved one was convinced that trusting in the Lord was the only way of true, lasting joy and comfort in life and in death. And that's how he lived. And that's how he died. The afternoon before his death, I was visiting with him, and I had read from John 14, the first verses, and you're probably familiar with those verses where it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions," and so on. And I read them to our dear brother, and he wasn't very talkative. That was rather unusual for him, as you know, but he was at the stage of his life where he was not able to talk very easily anymore. But he nods his head in agreement, doesn't he? Again, confirming his trust in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? What does the word trust actually mean? Well, it encompasses so much, doesn't it? When we say that we trust someone, it speaks about a relationship that we have towards them, doesn't it? If we take a personal check from someone for a great sum of money, we will only do so from someone we know and trust. And we know them to be trustworthy. Or if we leave our children with a babysitter, we ask ourselves the question, do I know her? Can I trust her with my children? And so trust speaks something of the person in whom we trust, doesn't it? In fact, when you ask, "Do you trust me?" you're asking someone if they have confidence in you as a person. And that you are one who is known to be faithful to what you do and what you say. And that you will do as you've promised to do. And that you have the ability to do as you've promised to do. How many of you would trust someone you did not know? If so, you went home this afternoon and someone knocked on your door and said, I have a great need. Will you lend me $1,000? And he says, I promise to pay you back. And you've never met him before. You do not know him. And you would simply say, well, how can I trust you? How can I believe what you're saying? And you're unlikely to trust someone you do not know. Well, our text says that we're to trust in the Lord. Now, what does that look like? In order to trust in the Lord, we have to know him, don't we? We have to know who he is. And the more we know him, the greater our trust of him will be. And the Bible teaches us about who the Lord is, doesn't it? It teaches us about his grace and his mercy. It reveals him to us as one who is majestic and glorious. And ultimately, we learn of the Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ. That God gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And when we know him to have given his only begotten Son, then we believe the promise that he will save whoever believes in him. And the Word of God testifies to his faithfulness through the ages. And isn't that precisely what your loved one learned? And if this is true, that we will only trust him if we know him, that I might ask you, how well do you know him? How well do you know him? If you don't trust him, you probably don't know him. Because if you know him, you will trust him, won't you? Because if you know him for who he is and who he's revealed himself to be in the Word of God, then you will trust him. Because you will know him to be trustworthy. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him unto that day. You see, knowing him is essential to trusting him, isn't it? And we're not talking just about knowing the facts concerning him. But we're talking about knowing him in an intimate way, in a way of a fellowship and communion with him. In the way that you know your spouse, in the way that you know your family, you know them, and you know everything about them. You know how they will respond to something before you even ask them. You know them in a very personal way. And so if we have to know the Lord, then we must know him as he's been revealed to us in Christ, in his life, in the perfection of his holiness, in his righteousness, in his glory, his majesty, his faithfulness, his love, his mercy, his grace. Because knowing God through Christ means knowing him in a saving sense, doesn't it? Your dad and your opa, in so many ways, he taught us what it means to trust, doesn't he? He showed you what it was to trust in the Lord. When he lost his wife, Wilma, he trusted in the Lord. When his son was killed, he trusted in the Lord. When his son-in-law died tragically, he trusted in the Lord. And he showed how we are to trust in the Lord. Resting in the Lord's promises and the Lord's ways and the Lord's providence and believing that the Lord will carry him through even unto the very end as he has done. Believing the promise that when God has begun a good work in you, he will bring it to completion. Trust him with all your heart. With all your heart. In all your ways, this proverb says, acknowledge him. In every aspect of our life, we are to acknowledge him. So trusting in the Lord is to acknowledge him in all our ways. And the opposite of that, the Proverbs often have a contrast in them, don't they? And this proverb does as well when it tells us of the contrast. And the opposite is not trusting in the Lord, but leaning on your own understanding. Or figuring things out on our own. How we see things and how we comprehend things and what we are able to do. Looking at things from a horizontal, vertical level. Or not a vertical level, but a horizontal level. From an earthly level, not from a heavenly level. You see, the devil, he leads us astray. Thinking that what we see and what we're able to handle and to hold is all that there is. But these things, moth and rust, do destroy them, and they fade away, and we take none of them with us. To lean on our own understanding is really to walk in our own sinful ways and to have this arrogance over and against the Lord, because naturally this is who we are. We don't look and trust the Lord because that takes humility. For us to lean and depend upon someone takes humility of spirit, doesn't it? But for us to do things our own actually flows from a prideful heart, doesn't it? But where does that lead to? Where does it lead to when we lean on our own understanding? We know where it leads to when we trust in the Lord with all our heart, for He's the one who shall direct our paths. He leads us even into glory. He leads us across the Jordan into the promised land. But when we walk in our own ways, where does that lead to? It doesn't lead to eternal glory. It leads to eternal condemnation. You see, to trust in the Lord means to repent of all of our sin of arrogance, our sin of pride, our sin of independence, and turning and trusting in the Lord for salvation. Because naturally, we do not trust Him, but we walk in our own ways. But it's only when we realize God's grace and the depths of it that we see our own hearts as they really are. That they are ones which are darkened and depraved and warped and in need of God's grace. You see, the devil wants us to live for the here and now. He wants us to pursue the things of this world without a second thought to eternity. But it's at times like this when we're confronted with the reality that we may live to 96 years old, but that, even that length of time, is the twinkling of an eye in comparison to eternity. It's like the flowers which fade away. It's like the morning mist which is burned off by the sun. When you compare the length of even our brother's days to eternity, they are not even significant in regards to time. But there is an eternity which is to come. And this time we have here below is meant to be a pilgrim journey. Isn't that the way your loved one lived? In many ways as a pilgrim, wandering through the earth. But he was so conscious, especially in his latter years, that he didn't belong here. That he was only here for a time. And he knew that he was going to be with the Lord. You see, when we walk in our own ways, it leads to pain and to sorrow and to trouble, to condemnation, to judgment, to eternal destruction. But when we trust in the Lord, then we are comforted. Because that's the promise. That's how the proverb ends, doesn't it? Trust in the Lord in all your ways, and He shall direct your paths. That's a wonderful promise. It's a beautiful assurance, isn't it? We don't have to have any anxiety about the future or about the direction of our lives, because God promises that He will lead you. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. There are times when we may not sense the Lord's leading. There are dark and difficult times in life. The psalmist experienced that too. The psalm that's put in your program in Psalm 23. It's a beautiful psalm, but in the middle of that psalm comes that horrible reality. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even in that psalm, you cannot ignore it. I will fear no evil, though, because why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord leads His people. You see, when we trust in the Lord, then we follow Him. Then we walk after Him. And then we know that wherever we are, that He is with us there. And He will guide us to the end. He will even lead us to our eternal home. He will lead us into glory. You see, there's great riches in Christ, isn't there? There's a glory which awaits those who fall asleep, as we read from Thessalonians, in Jesus. And all these benefits will climax in the receiving of the crown of life and glory, which is something your loved one received. Paul speaks of this in 1 Timothy 4. And I'm sure that your dear loved one would say the same. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. The crown of righteousness awaits those who trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's the promise of the Lord. And this is possible because of the perfect finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are ones who naturally go our own way. And we accumulate a great debt on our account because of our transgressions against the Lord. And if it were not for the Lord Jesus who came and who suffered and died, making atonement for sinners upon the cross, there would be no way back. We would remain under condemnation. But God comes to us, and He comes to you this morning in the promise of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin. Believe in Him, and you shall be saved. That's the message. That's the message that your dear loved one would have wanted you to hear, I'm sure. I knew him well. And he would want you to say, and hear his voice as I say it. Family, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths. Amen. Let us sing together, as in your program, Abide, Abide With Me. this time, we're going to invite the family to come forward to have some reflections, their son Ben with the daughters.
Good morning, and thank you for being here supporting us today. You can hear a quiver in my voice, and very touched by everyone that showed up. Anyway, thank you for supporting us today as we honor our dad, our grandpa, and our great-grandpa, Henry Bransma. For those of you who don't know me, I am Ben, Henry's son. Standing with me today are my sisters Trudy, Frida, and Maria. The loss of a parent is certainly a traumatic event. The three of us standing here know the truth of that statement. However, we also have the comfort in knowing that the hurt and fade and our great memories of him will last forever. I know that Dad is in the place he wanted to be. In his last days in the hospital, he said to me, "I know where I'm going, and I'm comfortable with that. I have no anxiety." Clearly, we would prefer that he was with us still here, but we rejoice in knowing that he is enjoying the heavenly reward that he looked forward to of eternal life. Dad was born February 5th, 1923 in Borger, Holland. He married his sweetheart on September 2nd, 1947, and on June 8th, 1948, their first son, Henry, was born. This was a particularly exciting time for Dad, as his son would carry the same name as his great-grandfather, his grandfather, and his father. He was a fourth-generation Hendrik Bransma, followed by Trudy, born on August 26, 1951. The four generations were all firstborn, and they were 25 years apart for about 2.5 months of the year. It was quite a coincidence he liked talking about. In March 1953, they immigrated to Canada and were planning on settling in Edson, Alberta. However, when they got off the train, they discovered they were in Edmonton, not Edson. The only English they knew was hello. Finding work was easy then, and he ended up working for a Dutch potato and pig farmer. In the early years, life was difficult, money was scarce, and times were hard. But through it all, Dad's faith and trust in God never wavered. To him, thankfulness was the key. The Bransma family soon expanded with the birth of myself on September 12, 1954, followed by Frida on February 9, 1957. Dad and Mom's deep faith and desire to provide a Christian education for their children motivated them to move to Abbotsford in 1960 so we could attend the Christian school. After a few years in BC, we moved to Langley, where Dad started dairy farming with a partner and began a cattle hauling business and cattle dealing business called Langley Cattle Sales and Exchange. As the farm and business expanded, so did our family, and October 5, 1967, we were blessed with our little sister, Maria. My dad loved to talk to everyone he met. Whether you're a toddler, teenager, family, friend or a stranger, he always genuinely would be interested in your life. He would ask you how you were doing and leave you with encouraging thoughts and ideas and advice that he felt would be helpful. Even my Saturday morning coffee buddies have often told me stories about how Dad would come and spend time with them after church when they were young. I didn't even know those guys at the time, guys like John Paul Campman, Albert Campman, Ed Vandenberg. But my dad sure did. Dad also took a keen interest in politics and was often concerned about which party was the best for the country and also upheld Christian values. His church community here at Free Reformed Church was very important to him. He always talked about the preacher and his sermon, and he was very happy to tell you if he thought the preacher got it right or got it wrong. He spoke very fondly about the people in the church and always let us know who came to visit and how often. Believe me, I know he would write down the details of every visit and phone call he received. For him, the more visits and phone calls, the better. Risking leaving people out, names that he talked about are De Vries, De Jong, Lanting, Roseboom, Fruchop, Wolders, the cashier at Superstore, the Zylstras, and many more. He singled out especially Marty many times. Because my dad knew that I knew Marty well, he would tell me how little work he did, how much golfing he did, and how he spent 6 months a year in Phoenix. With a bit of a chuckle, he would finish by saying with his accent, "Yeah, I don't know what to think about that. There must be good money in them chickens." Even in his later years, Dad never lost his love or his interest in farming. He regularly asked me what was going on in the dairy industry and what was new. An avid driver up until the last couple of months of his life, he loved to drive around and spy on me and the neighboring farms. He would let me know my crops were not done and Brad Rose Booms were. And he would add, "And Brad got the corn in too." He also kept an eye on John and Debbie Arts. Both of these farms were close to where he lived, and he would check on their progress, and he went for his daily walks. And yes, I know Brad's here, and I knew exactly when you got all your cropping done. He would let me know. Last January, he renewed his driver's license for 2 years, but let his car go at the end of February. After that, he would often say he missed driving around, again in his accent, to check the fields. He was always asking me what land was worth and how much cows cost and how much a big tractor was worth. The last time I told him the price of a big tractor, and again in his accent, he would say, "That is crazy. I bought the whole farm for that." While Dad lived an abundant life, he also experienced significant loss. In the 1970s and early 80s, he tragically lost 3 granddaughters. Then in 2002, a farm... In 2002, a farm accident took the life of his oldest son, Henry. In 2010, his son-in-law, Bill, died suddenly. And in 2005, the love of his life passed away after almost 60 years together. Although missing them brought sadness from time to time, he also took solace in having loved them and knowing that he would see them again in heaven one day. Dad often told us that he and Mom hoped to leave one important legacy, and that their faith, their personal relationship with God, would be an inspiration to others so that they too would come to know God. Dad's motto was always trust in God. So the following thoughts are for my sister Frida. Dad moved into Birchwood Retirement Home in December 2018. Though he chose the place and put his name on the wait list, he wasn't too happy about it, worried that his hearing loss would make things difficult for him. However, he soon discovered he fit into the new routines quite well. He was jovial and pleasant to others. Quite soon, he was sharing a table with 3 other men. All of them had some affiliation with farming. 2 at the table were hard of hearing, so they were a loud bunch, and her table was dubbed the agriculture table. Dad's suite was on the first floor with a view overlooking the parking lot. He knew who came and went, who were regular visitors, etc. He also knew who went under smoke breaks by the big tree up front. Often he waggled his finger at them and that they were naughty or called them at them through his screen door. "That's not good for you." They smiled and waved. "That's just Henry," they'd say. Dad called every morning for 12 years. Excuse me. Dad called me every morning for 12 years just to let me know he was okay. Most days, the phone rang by 6:30 a.m. On the weekend, he waited till 8 o'clock so I could sleep in. Since Dad loved to talk, he rarely ran out of things to talk about. The who, what, when, where, and why often filled his conversations. If he thought I hadn't heard the latest news tidbit, he'd made sure I did. At Birchwood, he only had to make his own breakfast, lunch and dinner were provided. Though he managed to make his own meals before, he did have a few blunders in the kitchen, something that did concern me once in a while. One morning, he called me and proceeded to tell me in a deadpan voice that he had cremated a chicken. I first thought it was another story about one of his dreams. He told me that he had put a chicken in the cooking pot to simmer the night before and then forgot about it. That morning, he woke up to a foul, foul smell. Pun intended. He went to the kitchen to find that pan still on the stove. He opened the lid and found his cremated chicken inside. Knowing he was okay, I couldn't stop myself from laughing so hard. And he would say, what do you think, that this is funny? Later that day, I stopped at his house and almost gagged when I walked in the door. The smell from that cooking blender was so bad. Airing the place out, scented candles, air fresheners didn't help. A few days later, Trudy and I were there and washed down the walls, cabinets, floors, etc. It was better, but not good. Clarence installed a second smoking alarm just in case something like that would happen again. Many mornings he would tell me about his grandiose dreams he had, how he hated having such vivid dreams. Often they were about buying himself another farm. He remembered all the details so clearly, where it was located, what it looked like, what needed fixing, who would manage it, etc. In his dreams, he was placing us, his family, in various roles to make the farm run smoothly. In the past 9 months, Dad suffered 2 mild heart attacks. Each time he pulled through, a little weaker maybe, but still determined. He often said, "I'm ready to go home to heaven, but I don't want to yet." When he felt a bit better, he was back at telling jokes again. Each morning he'd love to tell a joke or two to the ladies at the desk or to the servers. He thought it was great fun to laugh with them. It didn't take long and the ladies were ready for him with jokes of their own to get him back. The past summer he started building up his stamina for going for walks with his walker. He told us he was doing a block or two. Eventually he would even go further. One day he walked to the nearest Save-On food store. He looked around but didn't really need anything. However, he couldn't help himself but buy another bag of candy. He did have a sweet tooth, and he loved sharing the candies with everyone. On Sunday, September 29th, we went to visit him in the evening. We chatted as usual, and at one point, he said he thought this would be his last Sunday. He would be going to church. When we said goodbye and left that night, we never thought it would be the last time we saw him talkative and well again. The next morning, I waited for his call, but it never came. I phoned him, but he never answered, so I called the home to check on him. Sometime during the night, early morning, Dad had a stroke. He suffered irreversible damage to his right side of his body. We had another 10 days with him as his body withered away. There were lucid times when he always knew us and spoke slowly with us when he could. He faded in and out at times. At one time, he woke up and looked at Maria and says, "Oh, I'm still here." At 6:30 a.m., October 10th, 2019, Dad peacefully passed in his sleep. A blessing for him to go to glory, though he will be sadly missed. Thank you for your comments, Frida. As I reflected on Dad's life, the lyrics of a song kept playing in my mind, and it goes like this, or some of the lyrics go like this. A beginning and an ending. Dates upon a stone, but the moment in the middle is how we will be known. Because what defines us can be found within a line, finding reason for our time. The time between the line is Dad's life. He left us with the following gifts to everyone who knew him. He lived a life full of riches, which had nothing to do with money. He knew the true meaning of life, and that was with his relationship with his Heavenly Father, his wife, and his children and grandchildren. In this life, he finished well, leaving each of us with treasured memories and thoughts. We mourn today that he's no longer with us, but we are grateful to have him in our lives for so long and for the privilege of all four of us above here to call him our dad.
We also have some reflections here from Pastor Hans Overduun, who was a pastor to our brother Henry for about 12 years, I believe, And he wrote a letter for the family, and I'd like to read that with you now. Dear family, please receive the sincere condolences of my wife and I with the death of your dear dad and grandfather and great-grandfather. Your loved one certainly lived a long life, and mostly with a fairly good mind and an energetic spirit right near to the end. When I think of Brother Henry as I knew him, the summary would be, what an example of Christian faith, but also Christian faithfulness. It was such an honor and delight in my years of ministry when serving in Chilliwack FRC from the beginning of 1996 to September 2009 to be pastor to Henry and Wilma together, and then Henry alone. I remember them well when they were still into gardening and garage sale collecting and selling. I remember many visits where I came to bring a word of encouragement and blessing to them and receiving in turn the same back from them, perhaps even more. When their son Henry died, that was a matter of much sorrow to them, but also then they brought it to the Lord. With Henry's deafness, which became an increasing problem as the years added on, none of us will likely know what a trial that was for him. What an example Henry was, mostly always in church, even twice each Lord's Day, even when many times he could hear little of what was said. He told me more than once, it was still always such a blessing and comfort for him to pray the prayer of dependence with the congregation at the beginning of the service and to hear the Lord's greeting of divine blessing, and then at the end of the service to leave from church under the pledge of God's ongoing grace, love, and mercy in and through Christ Jesus. When I first came to Chilliwack, I learned with the new church building project a few years earlier, it was Henry who was on a regular basis checking the development and doing whatever cleanups and helping hand he could do. Henry cared much for all his family in the generations. Wilma helped him keep track of them, and probably in the last years he couldn't remember you all as before. Often on visits with him, when I was privileged still to be his pastor, there would be prayer and care expressed for all his family, especially those who were not walking in God's ways according to his word, but going their own way and in the way of the world. He knew well in life the gospel truth that Jesus spoke, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Mark 8, verse 36. While he was successful in his own way in life, he knew and cared that his family and others would know the true treasure and comfort in life and death as found only in trust and relationship with Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Dear Henry, as I knew him, especially since his wife died in 2007, was often lonely but yet seldom bored. How many puzzles he could be working on even at one and the same time? Henry's legacy is fair to say for sure in the context of the congregation, but no doubt in the family setting too, was one of Christian godliness and gladness and a go-getter even almost to his last breath. He was a model of someone who by God's grace, through God's word and spirit, lived well and died well, and for whom now forever all is well. He was the kind of man whose example I desire to follow because his was an example worth following. Thank you for letting me say these few words by the way of this letter on the occasion of his funeral service. To God be the glory for his life and testimony. May every remembrance of this pilgrim saint gone ahead before us be of true and eternal blessing to us all, both in the family and congregation, with Christian greetings and prayer and praise, Pastor Hans and Nellie Overdoon. At this time, we come before the Lord in prayer. And after the prayer, there will be a PowerPoint presentation of Henry's life and so on. And then following the presentation, the PowerPoint, when it's finished, we will stand and we will sing those verses in your program of Great is Thy Faithfulness. And that will be the conclusion of the service. I will also pray at this time for the light luncheon that will be served in the fellowship hall directly here behind the sanctuary. And all of you are welcome to join us for that light luncheon that will be served there for us. And so let us come before God in prayer. Gracious and eternal God and Father, we are thankful for what we could hear of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and how this was pictured in the life of our dear friend, our dear father, our dear grandpa, and our great-grandfather, and how that he lived out the gospel in his life, showing what it meant to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And we have seen how that his paths have been directed by your hand, and that you have now led him through many trials and tribulations, through hardships, turmoil, and trouble. You have led him faithfully through the years and even led him home. And he has crossed over the Jordan River of death. But even there, you did not leave him nor forsake him, but you have received him unto yourself, even in the heavenly land of Canaan, where he might enjoy not the earthly pleasures that we might have here, but the eternal spiritual blessings that come through the gospel, that communion and fellowship with you, that he might now, O Lord, get a greater taste of what he enjoyed here in part as he worshiped with your people, that he might praise and glorify you before your throne. O Lord, bless us also in the time we spend in fellowship after this service. We pray for a blessing upon the food which has been so graciously supplied for us. We recognize it as a gift from your hand. Give us strength to our bodies for our day, and that we would continue looking to Jesus as the only way of life. We pray this in his precious name. Amen. So this time we will have the PowerPoint presentation.